Yeah, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. A very good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Good morning and welcome. So, yeah, we are in the first, actually the week of independence. We are in the week of independence. So how are you preparing? Preparing for the birthday of our country. As David said, this is no longer a young boy. It's no longer a young girl country. You know, it has become, it's grown up now. We have to behave like a grown up country as well. So yeah, how are you preparing, you know, in your regions? I love this, you know, I honestly love this way of celebrating. So do it in your region. It saves money. It's gonna save money. We normally have the whole government officials going to the same place, and we could spend about 30 or 40 million just in celebrating independence. You know, so yeah, let's do it. Do it in your region. You don't need to travel, ask your SMTs and go and sleep in expensive hotels. No, stay where you are. Stay in your region. Celebrate there. All right. So very good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. And, yeah, thank you, David, for handing over the mic on this side of the world. So we're coming to you live and direct, coming from the Ondangwa studio. So welcome. Yesterday we had Dwight. Giabonga mfowethu. So let's say thank you to Dwight for coming in yesterday. So all right, welcome. It's a Thursday morning. It's a Thursday morning and the 19th of the third month of the year 2026. So our time, it's about five minutes past the hour of eight. And well, welcome. My name is Mike Oshavili and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So, and sport news, because today we have some, you know, stories that we're going to cover in terms of sport. Every weekday we come through, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, you know, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious. Asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation in which you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, welcome. You're just right on time. And as usual, we start with our segment of On This Day in Africa. We go back, you know, go back into time. And good morning to my African fellow Africans and my dear listeners, you know, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today is March the 19th and we are looking back at some powerful moments that shape our continent on this date. All right. So let's start in South Africa. So on March 19, 1996, Nelson Mandela and his second wife, Winnie Madikizela Mandela, officially divorced. So their marriage had withered, you know, decades of separation as Mr. Mandela was in jail for 27 years, in prison for 27 years. So though their personal relationship ended, well, both remain towering figures in South Africa's freedom story. Now, 2 years later, On this same date, South Africa celebrated another historic moment. Makhaya Ntindi became the first black South African cricketer to play in a test match. Now, it was more than just sport. You remember, it was a breaking through. This was a breaking through, a sign that the racial barriers of the past were finally being broken on the field. So that was a breakthrough of a racial barriers of the past. And now let's head to Senegal. On March 19, 2000, Abdoulaye Wade won the presidential election. This ended nearly 40 years of Socialist Party rule. What made it special? It was one of the Africa's most peaceful democratic transfer of power. So especially in that part of Africa, a proof that change could come through the ballot box, not the bullet. As I said, especially that part of Africa, that part of our continent. And fast forward to March the 19th, 2021, the world watched as French forces launched Operation Harmattan, which was, it was the first foreign military action against Muammar Gaddafi, forces after they moved, to attack Benghazi. So a dramatic moment in Libya's civil war that would change the country's forever. And finally, just a few years ago, March 19, 2021, Tanzania made history after the passing of President John Magufuli. The Vice President Samia Suluhu Hassan was sworn in. She became Tanzania's first female head of state. A quite powerful moment of progress for women in African leadership. Well, that's your look back on March the 19th in African history. Thank you for joining me on In This Day in Africa. All right. So, and today's Thursday. So what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day on this day? So there is a powerful proverb that says, God gives the nuts, but does not crack them. God gives the nuts, but does not crack them. Now, what that simply means is this. Yes, life will give you opportunities, talents, and even blessings. But don't expect everything to come easy. You still have to put in the work. Now, you still have to show up. You still have to crack the nut. Now, because having potential is not the same as using it. And having a chance is not the same as taking it. So today, don't just wait for things to happen for you. Take what you are given. Take what have been given and do something with it. Because at the end of the day, the door may be open for you. But you still have to walk through it. The door may be open for you, but you still have to walk through it. That is our thought for the day today. So, and thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, good morning and welcome. And what do we have? What do we have on the menu this morning? So today, what we will look at, Namibia has launched another comprehensive development strategy. And this time, that is backed by the African Development Bank. That meant that paper or that strategy, it meant to tackle higher unemployment and economic inequality by investing in critical infrastructure, skills training, and private sector growth. Well, that is the first thing that we will be, you know, looking at. That's the plan we will be looking at, that we'll be unpacking. And I hope you will be unpacking that with me. And if we have time, that's a controversial decision that was actually done. Was it yesterday or before yesterday? So a controversial decision by the football governing body to strip Senegal of its African Cup of Nations title and award it to Morocco. And that has actually sparked, you know, outrage. And also, you know, Senegal decide that they are planning to appeal. So that is another story that we can go to and unpack it. So, yeah, and you know, your participation on the show is part of the show. So make sure that we unpack this together. And good morning. Thanks for joining me. And it's always a pleasure to be in your company. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I madina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeithani na omayakuro nirandi thoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konaraje tatu imwe. Datu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to...
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
That's very true, that you stay in the best country in the world. That's very true. And that's the land of the brave. But if you're on here, you also stay on the best, you know, station in the land. That's your number one talk radio station right here on Eagle FM. Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, good morning to you and good morning, Namibia. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike. And as always, we are going to go beyond the headlines because, you know, the story behind the story is where the real conversation begins. That's where the real conversation begins. So today we're talking about a plan, a big plan, a $1.78 billion plan. $1.78 billion plan. And it has your name on it. It has your name on it. Every single Namibian listening right now, it has your name on it. So the African Development Bank and the government of Namibia has just recently launched what they are calling the country strategic paper for 2025 to 2030. 5 years. Okay. Now, two pillars. The strategy has two pillars and one very, very, very bold promise. So the promise is that to fix our infrastructure, build our people's skills, and create jobs. That is the promise. All right. Does it sound familiar? Have you heard this before? You know, fix our infrastructure, build our people's skills, and create jobs. Now, Now, here's the question I want us to sit with today as we unpacking this. Okay? This is what I want us to sit with as we unpack this plan. We had big plan before. We do. The Harambee Prosperity of this world, NDP, you know, you can start from 1 to 5. So, so many, okay? And there are so many other papers that have been launched. So many launching has been done, okay? And some of them we have covered here. Now, as I said, we have heard big plans before. What makes this one different? Now, the reason why we ask these questions is actually really going into what we're going to look, okay? What we're going to look is that if other previous plan hasn't, we haven't achieved what we have planned, you know, have we looked at why? And we are going to know what could go wrong. What we're going to look at, what could go wrong? What are the risks? You know, what are the risks of this plan that it could go wrong? But then we look at the examples of the previous plan, and especially NDP, because we get into NDP 6. We can't look at NDP 6 because we're looking at now NDP 5. So what were some of the plans that we had that actually failed, and why they failed? And if we haven't changed anything, if there are no structural system, how do we expect this plan to actually succeed? So that's the bottom line. And that's how we're going to go about this. But we're also going to look at what is the plan is all about. What are those two pillars? What are the focus of those two pillars? And then really get into analysis of how this could be, you know, how this could be go wrong. Could this go wrong? Could this plan go wrong? So we look at those risks. So yeah, that's how we're going to go about. So let's unpack it. But the plan, the question I want us to sit with today, as we unpack this plan, is we have had big plans before. So what makes this one different? All right. What makes it different? So you're most welcome to, you probably, if you have read the papers, you know what it means, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a background to it so that we are on the same page. So, and if you do, well, you're most welcome to say, look, this is how it's going to work. Okay. If you are part of the paper, you are part of the, you know, the government, you know, and you know how this is going to be, you know, different. How is this going to be different? And I'm going to highlight certain things that I want to highlight for you now to think. So how this is going to be different? So that's the question I want us to, you know, to sit with as an unpacking. Okay. As we are unpacking this. All right. But first of all, what I like to do is to give you the context, because to understand where we are going, if we need to understand where we are going, you have to understand where we are standing, okay? Where we are standing and how did we get there? How did we get here? So that's what we're going to look at, all right? Now, Namibia, of course, Namibia is a beautiful country. Yeah? Namibia is a really, really, really beautiful country. It's a beautiful country. We know that. We are proud of our country. 35 years of independence. No, 36 actually. 36 years of independence. One of the Africa most stable democracy. So something that we are really, really proud about. We are one of Africa's most stable democracy. And we are proud of that because we maintain that as a nation. Regular elections, strong institutions, you know, like, our judicial institutions, our elections institution, although with their own flaws, okay, with their own flaws, yes, but generally a strong institution compared to some other countries. And just last year, a genuinely historic moment. We had a genuine historic moment. President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah was inaugurated as Namibia's first female president in March 2025 after winning the November 2024 elections. So, as I said, we have strong institution and we are the most stable democracy in Africa. Now, that peaceful transition, the world was watching. So it was watching and we delivered. As a Namibian, as a nation, we delivered. All right. But there's always a but. You know that. This is unpacking the day. There's always a but. I always tell you, the story behind the story. That's what we're looking at. But, well, as you know, stability alone, it doesn't put food on the table. Stability alone doesn't put food on the table. It doesn't pay extra classes. It doesn't pay extra classroom for overcrowded student. So, and it doesn't give a 23-year-old graduate in Katutura or in Mondesa or in Oshakati a job. That stability alone, it doesn't do that. Now, here's the economic reality. So we also need to look at our economic reality. Our economic reality is, our economy is, and this is very, very important for you as citizen to understand, our economy is heavily dependent on mining. All right? And then you're probably thinking, what's wrong with that? Yes, we are heavily dependent on mining, diamond, especially diamond, and uranium, mostly. Now, those minerals earn us, they normally earn us the significant money. They, in tax revenue, they earn us a significant money, but there's a problem. There is a problem. Now, the mining, it doesn't create many jobs. Mining does not create many jobs. Why? It uses machines, technology, and relatively, you know, highly specialized workforce. You know, it doesn't have mass workforce that coming in. So even when the mining is actually doing well, most Namibians don't feel, you know, we hear that, like, especially uranium last year or this year, you know, doing very well. Well, diamonds, a little bit different. So even when the mining now is doing very well, most Namibians don't feel it in their pocket. We don't feel it in our pocket. Okay? As I said, it uses, because this is not a sector where you have so many people working there. So only highly specialized workforce that are actually there, because otherwise they use machines and technologies, you know? So, and the other thing is that, and the growth itself has been slow in Namibia. So now, understand this. So we are heavily dependent on mining, which doesn't actually take up many people when it comes to employment. And the other thing is that growth itself has been slow, has been really, really slowing. So we grew at 5.4% in 2022, then 4.4% in 2023, and then 3.7% in 2024. You can see the downwards. That is a consistent downward trend, my dear listeners. So sometimes there's that, you know, partly because of this, we can understand because of the lower global diamond prices. The diamond has taken a dip in terms of prices, and also partly because of severe drought that we had in 2025, that really hurt our agriculture. So that has contributed also to the growth, to the very slow growth of our economy. Now, that pace of growth, now according to economists, is simply not fast enough to make now a difference or to make a dent in unemployment or inequality. So the pace of our growth is not fast enough, really, to make a difference in unemployment and and in an inequality, inequalities in a country. As we know, Namibia is one of the unequal society in the world, on planet, maybe on planet. We even beat the alien. Excuse me. Okay, we even beat the alien, you know, in terms of unequal society. Yeah, so now the other thing very important, which probably wouldn't make headlines, is the human story behind those numbers. Now, because this is where the impact is. Now, I want you to imagine you as a young Namibian, you know, you finish your school, maybe you even went to a college or university or vocational training center. You know, you worked hard. Your family sacrificed everything for you. And now you are looking for a job. And there are none. There are absolutely nothing. Or the ones that are available or the ones that exist don't match what you studied. Now, that is the daily reality of nearly half of Namibians, young people. Nearly half of Namibians, young people. According to the Namibia Statistic Agency of 2023 census data, youth unemployment stands at 44.4%. Nearly one in every two young Namibians who want to work cannot find work. Want to work, but cannot find work. Nearly, with that number, it's about one in every two young Namibian can't find work. And it doesn't stop there. Overall unemployment sits at around, you know, 36.9%, with some analysts saying it has crept even higher heading into 2026.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So, you know what? So, what I'm trying to do is just to, you know, give you a little bit of background before we go to what this strategic country strategic plan all about. So, give you a broader background of what we are trying to address, what this paper is trying to address, what the strategic plan is trying to address, and just the give you where we are to come to that point. This is what we want to address. And now I want you now to pair that with the fact that Namibia is ranked among the most unequal countries on the planet. So when you're talking about the overall unemployment sitting at around 36.9%, and also talking about, and as I said, some analysts actually saying it has crept up. It's really crept up even higher heading into 2026. Talking about the youth unemployment, you know, standing at 44.4%. And as I said, now you pair that with the fact that Namibia is ranked among the most unequal countries on the planet. Let's use the word planet. So our Gini coefficient is, which is the standard global measure of inequality, sit approximately 0.59. So on a scale where 0 means perfect equality and 1 means totally inequality, so we are dangerously close to the wrong end. We are actually close to the wrong end. That's why we are the second, or probably we are on top of now. You never know. All right. Now, the gap between the wealthiest Namibian and the poorest is really, really huge. Okay? It's quite, we said that canyon, yeah? It's really canyon. And that gap has a deep historical root. It also have a deep historical root. And those historical root in land ownership, in access to quality education, and also in also the generational economic exclusion. So it also reflecting where we're coming from. Okay? It's also reflecting where we're coming from. And if we talk about rural communities, that's even so the rural community, they are even hit the hardest. They are even the one who actually hit the hardest. In many rural areas, you know, as we know, power is not just an income, you know, it's not just about income. When we talk about poverty, it's not just about income. It's about lacking things like clean water, reliable electricity, and access to market, you know, access to market. So it is what experts actually call multidimensional poverty. The multidimensional poverty, and it affects a significant number of Namibian households this day. So it's a mix of everything. Okay? As I said, poverty is not just about income. It's about, you know, no water, no reliable electricity, no, you know, access to market if you don't have water and electricity. So definitely, or road to the market, or good road to the market. Those are the things now, as I said, experts call the multidimensional poverty. And it's really affecting a number of Namibian households today. So this is the wound that the new strategy is trying to heal. All right? Now, this is now the wound that this new strategy is trying to heal. So what exactly is being proposed? Okay? Now we come to what is exactly being proposed by this new country strategic paper. So the African Development Bank, which, by the way, has been actually a partner. It has been a partner to Namibia since shortly after independence, since we are in the week of independence, has unveiled what they describe as a comprehensive roadmap for transformation. All right? So comprehensive roadmap for transformation. Now, the total financing package. So this is now a total fund. The total financing package is worth approximately $1.78 billion over 5 years. Okay, so that package is worth $1.78 billion over 5 years, with around 1.5. Okay, remember 1.78 is the total package, and 1.5 billion of that coming through, lending operations. Okay, so it's coming through a lending operation. That's actually a loan. Okay, now, so the strategy rests on two key pillars. Okay, it rests on two key pillars. So don't remember that 1.5 billion of that coming through the lending operations. That means another loan. Those are things that we're probably going to look at, you know, but let's talk about the strategy. So the strategy rests on two key pillars. Pillar one is infrastructure. We're talking about now energy. We're talking about energy, transport, and water. Why? Because without reliable electricity, business cannot operate. So without road and railways, good cannot move. Okay? And without water, security in a country like Namibia, an arid country like Namibia, agriculture and industry simply cannot grow. Okay? We need water security. That's why the other day, was it Tuesday or Monday, we were talking about the desalination plant which is owned 70% by Chinese government-owned firm. So, and the reasons why we're asking, because there are money available for energy, transport, and water from the African Development Bank. So that's why we were actually asking, why couldn't we look for this option before we gave the 70% to the Chinese company? So, and the reality is that we are too dependent. As recently as October 2025, 62% of Namibia's electricity was imported from neighboring countries. So we are generating less than half of our own power. So that's something that, you know, most of you, is something that we talked about here. So now the government has set a bold target now, 80% domestic electricity production by 2028. 80% domestic electricity production. Okay? Do you hear that? 80% production by 2028. It's only 1 year left. If we produce 80% of our own electricity, imagine we are importing 62% of Namibia electricity. The electricity that we consume is 62% is coming from it's imported. So, but in 2028, it says that, that's why I said it's a bold, that's a, set a bold target. With this money, probably, you know, 80% domestic electricity production by 2028. And there is a separate of $1.76 billion energy expansion plan in place at the moment. So, but we are not there yet. So we are not there yet. So, and until we are, every factory, every small business, every rural household is still vulnerable. We're still vulnerable until we are there. When it comes to transport, Wabish Bay is one of our, you know, crown jewels, if you like. Our port has the potential to be the premier logistic gateway for landlocked countries across Southern Africa. So we have Zambia, we have Zimbabwe, we have Botswana, we have the DRC. So we could be the bridge. We could be the bridge between African interior and the global markets. And that's what we keep talking about. I mean, it's also in our NDP 6, you know. But we have aging railways. There is infrastructure gap. And those infrastructure gaps are holding us back. So that's why this money now is made available to revamp that. So the African Development Bank has specifically backed the upgrade of the Wabish Bay, Ndola Lubumbashi rail corridor. Okay. They backed that. So there is money available to do that for that project now to help us realize that ambition. So that would, and if that can be realized, that can become a really, as we always said, can become a really a game changer. If it happens, the question, if it happens, there is an if there. So, yeah, so that's the money, what it's meant for, what it's trying to address. And the other pillar, there's two pillar, there's another pillar on human capital, skills and entrepreneurship. So this is about people, expanding vocational training, supporting young entrepreneurs, and connecting education to what the economy actually needs. So that's the other pillar. And the truth is, Namibia spends a significant portion of its national budget. We spend our significant portion of the budget on education. So we value schooling, eh? We value schooling, we value education. But the mismatch between what we teach and what employers need, I think that remains a major problem. There is that mismatch between what we teach and what employers need. So that is the major problem. Too many young people leaving training institution without market-related skills. Okay? Without market-related skills. The strategy now aims, this strategy now aims to close that gap. All right? Now, the strategy now is aims to close that gap. So the other areas also is also that it emphasizes the climate resilience, which is very relevant because drought is no longer just a seasonal problem. It has become a structural one. So one thing that we should actually be able to deal with, there's also money available for that. And also, the plan also includes a gender equality as a cross-cutting theme, which is significant given who is now sitting in the highest office of the land, definitely. All right. So yeah, that's what the plan is all about. What is that what is the plan is trying to address? Just in a nutshell, to give you an idea of what this plan is all about. Now, we're gonna look at now at the risk to the strategy. Okay, we're gonna now have this critical analysis, risk to the strategies. What? So now we are going to do something that might be uncomfortable. So we're going to look at Namibia's new development strategy straight in the eye. Okay, straight in the eye. The $1.78 billion plan, the bold promises that it makes, and ask what could go wrong? And more importantly, what has gone wrong before? After this quick commercial.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwite moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, and welcome back. A very good morning to you. Our time is 45 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're looking at what the government have launched with the African Development Bank, the country strategic paper of 2025 to 2030. So what we were looking at just what is this strategy trying, what this strategic plan trying to address? It has two pillars that it's trying to address, structure and infrastructure and also human capital. That's basic things. Now, what we're going to look at is what could go wrong. I think what could go wrong with this plan? What has gone wrong before? Now, because here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing about Namibia. And you and I know about it. So we are really not short of big plans. We are not short of big plans. We are not short of ambitious document with beautiful covers and impressive language. We are not short of that. We have plenty of those. What we have sometimes been short of, maybe not even sometimes, what we are actually short of is delivery. Is implementation. And our history has the lessons. Painful ones. Expensive one as well. One we simply cannot afford to repeat. So, if you're just joining us, so settle in. Let's talk honestly. So, let me start with a story. A very Namibian story. Okay? Go back to 2013. Former President Hifikepunye Pohamba launched, underline the word launched, okay, launched what was called the Mass Housing Development Project. He launched the Mass Housing Development Project. Now, the vision was enormous, very, very enormous, and generous as well, I could say. Because build, what was the vision? What was the vision? It's actually to build 140,000 homes across Namibia for low-income workers who couldn't afford housing on the open market. All right? 140,000 homes across Namibia for the low-income workers. It was exactly that kind of ambition. People sent that plan that we cheer of. We cheer that, yeah? Because, wow, 140,000 homes, it's a really people-centered plan. And we cheer for that. Now, it has a government backing. It has public money. It had political will at the very top, you know, the president. So what happened? By 2025, 12 years later, 12 years later, only around 4,400 houses has been built. 12 years later, only around 4,400 houses has been built. That's roughly 3% of the original target. And even to make even the story even more painfully, to make it even more painful, many of those houses are set empty, locked, unoccupied. People sleeping under the bridge or on a pavement in some part of Windhoek or elsewhere. So it's not only in Windhoek. So while completed housing units remain inaccessible. And some, due to what? Due to bureaucratic delays, sometimes sometimes there's a contract dispute, you know, and much of the time it's just administrative failure. Eh? Administrative failures. And a Namibian Sun editorial in early 2025 called it, and I'm not overstating this, a decade of betrayal. So read that article, that Sun editorial, very good one. So a decade of betrayal. And what was the government response? Officials and contractor pointing finger at each others, nobody accountable, nobody in jail, nobody losing a salary. Do you understand? The target, we're talking about 140,000 houses, and we only could be able to manage to build 4,400. Shouldn't be someone, you know. So what happened? Huh? What happened? Nobody's accountable. Who's that? Nobody's accountable for that. Nobody's in jail about that. Nobody losing a salary. Think about that. What is underlying there is the system, you know. Now imagine what we're talking about. What the most important here that you have to understand is that if nothing done, if we have a system that doesn't enforce the law, or it doesn't do anything in terms of when projects have failed, when people have messed up, or whatever the case may be, then how do you expect this one to work? Because you still have the same system. Now, the question is, why am I telling this story? Why am I telling this story today? Because the very same risk, remember, what is the risk? Poor implementation. You can see that there is absolutely a poor implementation there. From 140,000 target to 4,000 only in 12 years. Poor implementation, weak accountability, contract failures, you know, contractor failures, and bureaucratic paralysis. Exists, that still exists for every single project inside the new 2025-2030, you know, this new now 2025 to 2030 strategy. These things are still in there. So that's why we said, remember the question that we're asking, how is this going to be different? What have you changed from how you do business? What have you changed? Sometimes when we're looking at this, this is not a blaming, okay? This is not actually blaming of the new administration. We're looking at what has, well, in some way you can say that, but you're looking at, have you changed the system? If you have someone who was lazy, okay, let's say that, whether from the previous any administration, the people that are working in the government, if you have someone that has been lazy, if you have even SOEs that haven't performing, what has changed now to trust that, you know, things gonna change this time? That's the question. If you have someone who has been lazy, never been doing his job, just because we have a female president, do you think they just woke up now? Oh, okay. Now we have Memene Tumbo Nandindaitwa. So as a president, now I'm going to work hard. No, they will continue to be lazy. Unless we remove this lazy person. Eh? Unless we remove this lazy person. And we're talking about the structural governance of government. Eh? The system that makes things happen. Eh? So that's what we're looking at. Infrastructure projects are not launched and completed by PowerPoint, you know, when you're just doing PowerPoint presentations. You know, most of this launch is what it's all about. They are built or not built by the same procurement system. You still have the same procurement system. What has changed? If that procurement system failed us before, what has it changed? The same government departments, you know, the same lazy person maybe you have in that department is still the same person. Why do you expect now all of a sudden now he's gonna do miracles? And the same institutional culture that gave us ghost houses in 2025. It's the same people. So that's why I'm saying what's going to be different about this if this system are still the same. That's the warning number one. Okay? So, and what we're looking at is this. This is not actually, what we're looking is that unless these things, unless we have actually changed this thing change, we won't see any difference. So that's what we're looking at. Okay? And I said that's a warning number one. Okay? Now let me tell you, another puzzle. I'm gonna give you a puzzle. All right? So an economic puzzle one. I'm going to give you an economic puzzle that should trouble you and every Namibian. Okay? Now, here's the puzzle. Namibia's economy has been growing. It has been growing, even on a snail pace. It has been growing. And yet, now, just think about this. The economy has been growing on a very, remember what I said earlier on, the economy said the pace we are growing, we will not be able to make enough, you know, create more jobs and, you know. Let's go to the caller and we'll come back to this one. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Okay, we lost that one. You may come back again. Please do come back. 08-333-66-091. You're most worth to come through now. We have covered enough for you to come through. 08-333-66-091. Okay? So, if you want to participate, and have your opinion. Do so. 083-333-66091. All right. So this is the puzzle. Namibia's economy has been growing, and yet unemployment has also been growing. How is that possible? My question is, how is this possible? How does the economy expand and the number of jobless people also expand at the same time? Isn't that a puzzle? Eh? Well, the economists have a name for it. Okay? They have a name for it. They call it jobless growth. Excuse me. They call it a jobless growth. Okay? And it is Namibia's most stubborn economic disease. This is the most stubborn economic disease for Namibia. Now, let's look at the evidence. Let's look at the evidence. Our fifth national development plan. So we can't look at NDP6 yet. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Hmm.
Yeah, in brief, it could be possible. Maybe looking at the number of deaths,
the number of
graduates, those variables might play a role.
Yeah.
In that, but that might not be an excuse. But maybe just to go to the what you have said.
Mm.
So yes, yeah, I think I've heard of the phrase that peace does not put bread on the table. Yeah. I don't know where it was coined from.
What does not put on the table? Say that again.
Yes. Yes.
Just hold on it. Just hold on. We're going to come back. There's a quick commercial coming up.
Thank you.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
All right, let's go ahead.
Yes, what I was saying is that, yes, when you were actually giving us some insight in that national strategy, and also what I said about the number of unemployment outpassing economic growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously it is also possible, like I said. Yeah, you might also have more graduates graduating in a specific fields or districts where the possibilities or the likelihoods of employment can generate from. Issues of agriculture, for example, and there could be few people who are studying agriculture, and those other ones, maybe the teachers or any other profession. My field that is, this is not my field because I have not studied it. I have not studied this thing. But these are the things that I can do. So looking at the pillar of the strategy that you have just mentioned, and also in line with the money that you see there to address those challenges, So you talk about human capital and infrastructure and what is the other one?
It's infrastructure, especially, yeah. So it's infrastructure, especially transport, water security, and yeah, energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So now the mismatch that you mentioned about with the labor skills,
yeah,
what the labor market needs, and there was also, I think 2 years ago, somebody, I think is one of the Waengo, presented a paper with UNAM, I mean at NAS actually. And it was a workshop in there. So when you look at the mismatch, this has been addressed for some time also. And there are also areas of concern, because if you are producing more of this type of student, and maybe, like I said, in that area,
yeah,
for them to be absorbed, just like in agriculture, or VTC, they are, I think they are not more of the VTC unless we need to expand and convert some of those secondary schools into a vocational training institution. And then you also look at the, it cannot just be the same thing of last year or the 2 years back. We need to say there's only 1 year left. Cannot be so. So because when you look at the designing of some of these systems and structures, especially when it comes to the structural reform of the area, the ones that we are talking about, the ones that we are talking about today of African Development Bank,
yeah,
because they know already that to develop up the water infrastructure, for example, build the capacity that you need, but the hours now, have you, is there a survey that was done and say, yes, here we do not have the capacity? Perhaps, I don't know. Maybe I need to hear from you.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's, what you're saying is, it's fine. I think the underlying question really is the, it's looking at, and as I said earlier on, to say, you know, much of our, let's say, for example, we have a department that hasn't changed, that hasn't been performing. And unless we change that department, you know, either maybe in terms of personnel, and even, just hold on.
It's not found in any other sector, or only the government.
Even the private sector, even in the SOEs, you know, if we have an SOE, I mean, a CEO who hasn't been performing, and we still actually then give this money. Let's say, for example, you have an SOE that hasn't been performing. Are you confident enough to give them or 1 point something billion actually to go within a project who hasn't shown any performance?
I thought you are a Christian.
Yeah.
So the faith, unwavering faith that we read in the Bible. So I don't know where your doubts are. Anyway, because you are also reading it that it has been like that and it has never been like that.
No, the doubt. I have indicated with the examples. So I've indicated with an example. As I said, there are plans. That's why plans that we made have ambitious target, but we hardly meet those target. Now we have to look at, now I cannot just give my faith in people who have failed. So we need kind of to look, okay, where are we going wrong and how do we improve that?
Yes, that's what we find. If you can identify, like you have identified, this mismatch, which has been addressed also and is being addressed,
yeah,
in my own understanding, my own research, and in terms of whether it's from the law perspective or from the economic or political economy or many, many other areas where you know that for you are aware already that the, like you mentioned, of the gender, as a cross-cutting issue, you know already the psychological part what is that your program that you always talk about, Mind Matters or whatever?
Yeah.
So it's being addressed. There's also an issue of mental wellness and fitness or whatever you can put. I think that's your area. That is a mandatory to institution and to individual. So what as we as individuals, where we know that we have identified some kind of mismatch and loopholes or maybe lack of implementation. Because if people are not, because I know every strategy or whatever goes with it, comes with its own action implementation plan. So, and we as the individual or institution, we should tap in. We should tap in, because the only thing that I see, I heard this lack of implementation you mentioned there, and the capacity, which I also contested, because there are people who are unemployed, who are there. I don't know whether they are also looking at those strategic plans or annual reports or maybe this kind of interaction that we are talking about, because much we have spoken with it already with David. And so maybe it's for you to identify where you can fit in those structure so that you can then make some kind of positive or significant impact. And also lead those unemployed or those who are maybe, because I know this unemployment has got most major three categories. Some people are just, because I'm an accountant. So I've got this diploma or bachelor degree from this an accounting firm. I cannot go into agriculture. So if you combine and coordinate your resources or energy, if you don't have the resources. There, for example, electricity that you said, the ambition also talks about 80% of local production and all this other thing.
All right, Uncle Bonner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We, as I said, we're looking at a different level, okay? And as I was talking about, the Namibia economy has been growing, and yet unemployment has also been growing. So, and as it, let's look at the evidence of our fifth national development plan, NDP-5, which just ended. The one that just ended has these ambitions, you know, ambitious targets. So the economies have since assessed its record. And the verdict, what is the verdict? The NDP-5 achieved only around 58% of its stated goals. So only achieved only around 58% of its stated goals. Now, what is more damaging? Okay. What is more damaging? Analysts found a clear structural decoupling. Okay. What they call structural decoupling. Meaning economic growth and job creation were completely disconnected. Okay? We're completely disconnected. What that means is that mining grew, construction grew, you know, finance grew, but here's the problem. These sectors are what is called capital intensive. They use machines, they use technology, they use small number of highly specialized workers. So that's why the unemployment, that's why employment hasn't grew. So you remember at the beginning, I said we depend more on mining, you know, and we looked at the other areas that, you know, we find more problematic in Namibia. So as I said, mining grows, like, uranium, we have done very well, diamond, a little bit, Not too good because of the diamond prices, global diamond prices. Construction grew, finance grew, but there is a problem that these sectors are what is called the capital intensive, not labor intensive. So, and when mine expand production, when now mine expand production, let's say the mine is expanding in terms of production. It doesn't hire 10,000 new workers. You understand? It doesn't hire 10,000 because it's expanding. It buys new equipment. It's actually buy bigger equipment rather than actually hire, you know, hire people. Manufacturing, which is the sector that historically create now the most jobs in most developing countries, has been stuck at around 11% of GDP for over a decade in Namibia. And the same level year after year, barely moving at 11% of the GDP. And this is where now, where you actually create jobs. And it has stuck at 11% of the GDP. So NDP5 even had a specific growth at home policy. We have in NDP5, we have growth at home policy designed actually to boost local manufacturing. Good idea. Very good idea. But according to analysts, very few projects under that policy ever reached meaningful scale. So now here's the challenge. Here's my challenge for the new strategy. Okay. The language about diversification, private sector growth, this sounds excellent. Excellent. But if I recall well, we said very similar things in NDP5. Unless NDP6 and this Africa Development Bank strategy come with like specific, measurable, sector level industrial policy, not just broad ambitions, as we sometimes we see here, we risk waking up in 2030, still waking up in 2030, with another report that say growth happened, but job didn't. Growth happened, but job didn't. So that's a very real risk. And it has happened before. It has happened before. So now it's something that we need to pay attention as we move forward in this, with this strategy. Now, one of the most, you're most welcome to come through our telephone number. You can come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. We're coming to you, live from Ondangwa Studio. 08333-66091 is the number you can call and share your opinion and share your view on the topic that we are looking at. And we're looking at the country, strategic, plan of 2025 to 2030. So that's what we're looking at. And we're looking at some pillars that are that the pillars of that strategic, plan. So now one of the most celebrated part of the new strategy, is skills development. Okay. Expanding vocational training, entrepreneurship support, and building human capital. And that's really, it's wonderful. Okay. Necessary and long overdue. That has been long overdue. Now, but here's what Namibia's own data is telling us right now in 2025. A brand new state of skill demand and supply report has just released. The findings are really sobering, you know? You know what I mean sobering? What I mean is that, you know, when you are absolutely drunk. Excuse me. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Lego.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said about this.
There's a sound. Okay, you come right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Like of this implementation.
Yeah. That's a disease in Namibia.
No, but we are having good plan. We have a plan. We are planning before even the amount we have, it's not enough for that plan. If the president was planning for 100 something thousand, and now he built only 4,500.
Yeah.
But look, to the take it to the to the budget.
Yeah.
Budget which is, was given to the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development. It's below 2 billion.
Yeah.
How can you build that house, this house, under this small budget which is given to the ministry? If you say this through, we are having plans which we don't know. They are not even, it's a non-achievable planning. Therefore, every president they come there, that's the campaign. Even the one which we have now is, he was promising 85 billion to create jobs.
Yeah.
In a minute. Where are you going to find this 85 billion?
Yeah.
Even the budget itself.
And those are the those are the things as electorate and as citizen of this country be able to be learn about. And when somebody tells us, okay, we are going to create this how much job, and you kind of now think, but we are in debt. We are actually in debt. This, our debt is this level. We are servicing debt with this amount of money, taking about 15% of our budget. And how, where are we going to get that money to be able to create that? You know, so it's now we ask for us to be able to learn and understand when politicians are talking to us or any leader that are talking to us, we can be able to say that's not realistic. Huh?
If you what we are doing to ourselves, really true. If you are, the one who put them into power, really, it means that the problem is to ourselves because we are not following.
Exactly.
Because we are not asking.
Yeah.
We are not, therefore, I said if the politician come to campaign, they ask what formula are you going to use, where you are going to find this money,
yeah.
How will you do it, and explain. Therefore, the politician just come there. So always I said, just they came to preach. There is no question.
Yeah.
No one. If they give a chance to somebody, like the former president, they was giving also in time to president's question, and they think you answer. But only few answer. If you, get all of those who are having questions here in that conference, you must lift up your hand. If they lie, and then you answer only 2% of that last question. And then from there, you said you campaign what.
It's like at this point in time, seriously, we're talking about mass housing, that project was done. Nobody's asking now, what happened? How can we said we are going to build 140 houses? And in 12 years later, we only build about 4,400. Nobody's asking questions. You understand? And we kind of like, I don't know whether it's a way that we trust too much of the people that we put in power, but this is not even have to do with the people in power. It has to do with the system in place. You know, why it failed to deliver. That's what we ask. Why it failed to deliver? Do we need reform? You can reform in terms of policy, but then if you lack enforcement, you know, and implementation and delivery, then you have a problem.
But no matter, you know, if you try to implement, the problem is money, which is not enough for that plan or for that what you want to come up with.
Exactly.
And more money.
And that also, and I think that also something that make, let's say, for example, government look bad. Because if you say we are going to build, you know, 500,000, how many? We are going to create 500,000 jobs, and you haven't even created half of that. So you have to look at what do you have? What do I have? And realistically, what can I do with that? With what I have? We're talking as if we don't even know what is in our coffer.
Many plans have been done, but nothing has been found achieved. We have TPEC. What they call TPEC, don't say we have that, what was wrong.
Yeah.
So it was saving a lot of benefits. But still now, where is no, it's disappeared. No more. Now we came up with another plan. No more. We have come up with our division to come to very close to come to an end.
Yeah.
Without even finding anything done or in your by vision 2030. No matter how many NDP we are today, we are now NDP 6. All of them, they are gone in train.
Yeah.
Nothing has been done. Now we are having the last one, where we end up with 0. That is what we are doing. I don't know. If the voters, they are following what they put on people, are they accountable for what they promise?
Yeah, we
don't care. As long as election come and they go and they vote, and then from there, we forgot what was promised until next election again. We used to just did it, and then from there, we forgot. When it comes to ballot box, we were there, we see the people talking sweet things, and then after about, they business as usual.
Yeah.
What we are doing now? I don't know. If we see other countries like Congo, Brazil, with the way people say people are living under poverty life. But we don't look to ourselves. If people saying people are living under poverty line, it's only people that they cannot afford basic necessities. That is four. Water, clothes, a place to live, and the food. It means that people that are living under poverty line. If people are living in the poverty line, it's better. Because people, they can afford their basic necessities. No matter they could live with nothing. How many are we in this country who could not afford our basic necessities?
Yeah.
Over 60% of Namibians.
Yeah.
They cannot afford their basic necessities. But we are looking to Congo Brazzaville where we said no Congo Brazzaville, what all. Let us talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, we're talking plans that we have in plenty, many, many plans that we have, you know, what we have launched. The bigger one, 2030, Vision 2030. Do we even know what is actually in there where we should be by now, you know, with Vision 2030? Do we even ask? Do we even go there and then be able now to ask, why haven't we achieved what we were set to achieve? So, we come up with another plan without really asking why, what, where did we go wrong?
Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
Yeah, good, man. I know. I don't see any wrongdoing between the cabinet and the office of the president.
Yeah.
Because if the national plan or whatever the project was implemented and then it fails, so that ministry or that entity reported to the office of the president.
Yeah.
And the office of the president reported or requesting to canceling that activity. Yeah, so now the people were expecting it to continue, but the president has already submitted that I'm no longer having confidence into this project. So maybe the new administration, whatever is coming in, must pick up with something or continuing with this one. But for my administration, is failing.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that maybe we don't have enough information to see where those things are failing. Because remember,
yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. You know.
Yeah.
I can imagine when you look at serials, the gap of our target, and what we have achieved, and you don't hear, you know, you look at that and think something must be done here. You know, maybe that are responsible for. Because this is a social contract that you have with your nation, eh?
Yeah.
So but
the presidential inquiry, which is now running, like Tate Poamba have been done, this to go visit those sites.
Yeah.
And appointed already the witness that Ilolo didn't really study the project very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was already showing you that this thing will not continue.
Yeah.
So the recommendation was already submitted. As I said, you if the finance or the fund approved by the cabinet, which means it's continuing whatever the administration are coming in.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the one that is a success, don't always look at the one that is not. If you look at those children, what? It's continuing. It's monitoring the poor child, what?
Yeah.
You come in and go, It's depending on how you submitted in those. But the government is still continually committed into that.
Yeah.
So for this now, we don't know whether there is a public notice or board that can tell him that, okay, this one, this project that we were supposed to be done, it was failing because of Mr. Who, we counting Makanda Bell for that.
Does that transparency needed? Is that transparency needed? Because it's a road trust within the citizens, isn't it?
We African, we are not really interested on tarnishing our name because of the management.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't have such as a thing to say the everything that is wrongdoing in the country must prosecute them.
Because overall, you could be the one who's responsible as well, accountable as well.
Yes. That is where the problem, because remember, we don't already having expert or qualified people that are running the public health services.
Yeah.
Most of these people, they don't understand much. Then the one that is participating in the private sector services. Because private sector services, you are expecting to, whatever services you are giving, is already profiting you.
Mm.
There is already a value exchange, which is money, you are buying that, you know, on the spot.
Mm.
But in the public services, it's totally different. People are buying or people are paying indirect. You don't know how they are funding that, how they are supporting the project. And that is what it's failing most of.
Quite a quick commercial coming up. Just hold on for a minute.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weda ko ombunikire ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no mata ko murungu wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondengu o kuura ko imba una ovyu nedia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to tuika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yopia nja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente mirongo ivari na dano Media Mulongana, Ivari Moshimarif. It ordered on Tengu, Chimayung, Gura, Nawakove, Nawina, Onyanukife. As she is sure, Imba, Yakupe Oshimariva, Sishina Omarifiro. Imba, all Morongani no Oyeru Hakainina, Itaku Nawina, Rishangita, Jimon.
All right. Yeah, no, the other things there, the underlying, actually, discussion it maybe on this subject on the topic that we're looking at is the system that we see poor implementation overall, weak accountability, so and maybe bureaucratic paralysis in the government. So when we're now talking about this new. Now that the 2025-2030 strategy, this country, you know, it's still, you still have the same system, the same employees, the same, you know, structure of implementation. How confident now one would feel that this gonna happen, this gonna make a difference? This will be different.
Yeah, as I defining those two sectors, which is now private and public, is that the issue here, those people, sometimes you make it difficult for them, those CEO and whatever who are running the entity.
Yeah,
they are the one that is now, let me say he's a qualified person who come from the private sector, and then you you put him on the public sector. And then you see the budget that the houses that is needed to be built might end up two-bedroom houses, not one-bedroom houses. But on the approval of the fund from the cabinet, it say 500 million.
Yeah.
To cover 10,000 houses. So you might end up running some they are resigning if you look at it.
Yeah, but what has informed cabinet actually to approve what they have approved if they don't have evidence enough to decide that decision, to make that decision?
Those are now the questions that you are popping up to the office of the president. Because remember, this is just a prediction project.
Yeah.
Which is...
But still be relatively informed. Yeah.
Yes, because it's under the manifesto.
Mm.
The combining is coming from the party. It's not coming from me as a CEO.
Yeah.
So it's come from the party through the office of the president, through the cabinet now to approve it, whether they can allocate that money or they can release that money from somewhere and then give it to you. So at the end of the day, if you look at, for example, Sasora in South Africa, most people are resigning because of the budget.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to tarnish your name for nothing, running the entity that can go down like what we are having in Namibia.
Yeah, yeah.
So most of these people, they are not really, if you look at the rate, Lukoro, for example, he's a lawyer by profession, may rest in peace. So he's a lawyer by profession, but he's not a financial guy that can run those profitable entities. This is what we are facing in this country. We don't have much expertise in the country, and the issue is that we're relying on politics too much.
Yeah,
which in they are telling people things that is impossible to be implemented.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, this is what we are failing. If you look at even the houses that we are talking about, we have an issue of rent that can never be discussed. So those are the type of things that for us now to count accountable is already, I will even sue you with your manifesto. If you end up dismissing me for nothing, or you end up prosecuting me for 10 years for nothing. So I might end up suing you and the government end up bankrupt. So what they are doing is just to fire you and appointing somebody else. And continue with the operation,
which hardly happened actually. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and most of these regulators that we are having in the system, they don't understand the economic activity.
Yeah,
and that is what we are failing with the street vendors also.
I think that's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, because the regulators, they understand the regulator because they are reading, but for them to come and explain to those people that this is what is going on. And remember, the operation knowledge is something that everybody understands. But if a person is not understanding that this is not a good place for you to operate in your business, you need now to be explained to that. Those implementers, we don't have them in the system. And that's why you see the infrastructure for the road in Namibia, they are good because it was set up by somebody else, not by us.
Yeah.
So those are even the power wiring. It's the same system. It's not ours. But if you look at ours, that is water rural supply, that was paid 50% from the government and 50% from the maintenance and from the people. It's failing because those implementers, they don't understand. Why the government have to pay this and all of that. They are expecting the government, people to paying on spot, as I said. They're running this entity as their own business opportunity because of those a contract for 10 years or whatever. So those are the problems that we have. It's not easy for us to reach in the way the European are doing, the way the Americans are doing. It's not easy for us.
Because
if we putting up, for example, the board starting hiring those private managers to come and running their board, might end up finding a lot of people are going to the street.
Yeah, because, I mean, we see even in the paper today where how much the money they actually are spending on the board. You know,
see, those are the things I'm saying. If Netumbo understanding really wanting to do business, so look at the companies that are doing better in the country, appointing those people to helping you out and even help that they can check it to understanding the profit and the rest. So those are the things that you need to do. But if you are taking somebody from Ministry of Health to come and be a board of manpower, how do you expect this? These are the comrades.
Yeah, exactly.
So they in terms of income, they are just counted that time. Because what if I do this to my comrades? We are in one party, and we were all appointed.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that the government will not make it. They will be just running like that forever.
One thing I'm also saying, is it needed somehow that the African politic has to find its own way of democracy? Maybe you can say democracy, but should we define our democracy so that maybe it fit into really into our goals, development our goal, but because sometimes I feel that we are limited by the concept we adopt now rather than concept that fit into African way of thinking.
Yeah. No, the African mentality is also one of the challenges, because if you look at the people that have been in the system or working in a different environment, like Dr. Ellen Johnson. The former president of
Liberia.
Liberia, and look at also Kofi Annan was one of them. May rest in peace also. When he came to Ghana, things are totally not what you were practicing in the outside there.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that the main, as I said, they are shaming to pointing fingers on their brothers and all of that. And that is what is failing the administration, is failing themselves to behave. If you could hire those presidents to say it, come and rule UK, they may end up committing suicide, because the understanding here is totally, because comparing Ghana, which is 1952, and look at Nigeria, well-educated people that is there, and look at the system of Tanzania, and look at the system of Kenya, for example. There are even worse than Namibia. So how do you, those people? They come a long way. They are English people. They were colonized by the English. We are not like us who are colonized by the farmers. No, they were with this one, but they don't understanding. As I said, the public services are not profitable, are injected in a different way, and paying your salary through something else.
Yeah.
But you want me to pay twice, which is failing now. The person is just cutting himself not to pay that. And after 20 days, that's why our municipality, they're doing that.
Yeah.
They are losing credit because of what? Because of forcing others. They don't know how to make it smooth for everybody into starting paying well. So those are the issue, that the infrastructure, the power that you are talking about, it has nothing to do with the administration.
Yeah.
It has to do with the CEO. The regulators, they are not doing better. Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
All right. 083-66091. 083-66091. So come through and have your say and your contribution. All right, we're looking at what the risk, what could be the risk country strategic plan of 2025 to 2030, the country and the African Development Bank has launched. What could be the risk that would affect this plans implementation? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Dr. Mike.
Yes.
Good Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Ah, it's lovely, Mike.
Hmm.
NDP, what? NDP 6 or 5?
No, this is actually the CPS, I mean the what is it? Not the country, a country strategic plan. This being funded by the African Development Bank, and Developing Bank made available 1.78 billion US dollars to fund those two pillars, the one is infrastructure, especially energy, transport and water security.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is it's capital capital development, skills and capital skills and human development. Yeah.
Skill and human development.
Yeah,
I think just earlier where we are almost as a Namibian, we are integrating when it comes to capital of skill development.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it's a mismatch what we've been trained when it comes to jobs, available jobs in the market.
Yeah. My question now is how is this gonna be different? How is this plan gonna be different? We have had other plans. We have NDP, all of them. You know, we have NDP, the Harambes and things like that. And how is this strategic plan gonna be different? How that's gonna be now different compared to the others? You know? So that's the fundamental questions.
Yeah, you know, Mike, for me, I think for us that to work, NDP to work, unless we are changing the way we are operating,
yeah,
with the way we do things.
Hmm.
Because if you continue, there's no way. We're just going to be what? Following money in the water.
Yeah.
And to be business as usual.
Where do we need really to change? Implementation, deliverance, delivery is the problem. And
yeah,
where is we need to change?
Yeah, for me, Michael, I think for us to change, we must start with education first.
Hmm.
Then when we are talking about education, we must look into what kind of skill job is available in the market. Because now we are producing this people, but
yeah,
we don't know where we are placing them because the job market is not seeking what we are producing.
Yeah.
You're
funding education,
yeah,
but you are not funding market opportunities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is where the problem is.
Hmm.
Because look here what is happening in the calendar situation now. We are even behind when it comes to even like our VTC and TVET. We are doing things with the been done in other countries 60 years ago.
Hmm.
It's what we are currently producing. And the market is not needing those people anymore,
yeah,
because they are machinery, and now we are still doing the way we are. Instead of upgrading our system when it comes to TVET and the vocation training, because now if you look, what is a market offering is not what VTCs are producing.
Yeah.
And it's a problem we're already creating. Because what we support, I think even in Namibia, I don't know how long we've been doing the research when it comes to even construction.
Mm. So we have state of skills demand and supply report, which actually which says vocational training is oversupplying graduate in administrative and office-based field, while critically undersupplying the technical and trade skill that actually needs, you know?
I don't know why even now we have a VTC which is engaging in what? Administration.
Yeah.
I understand we need it, but it's needed to the person who is already like what? Done a theory and practical.
Yeah, and he needed that someone who
has. When it comes to filling the form, like VIT, you know, all those kind of form. Because remember, some of us we graduate without knowing even what is a tax return.
Yeah.
Now, those in that area maybe we can understand, but when you are talking about human resource, which VTC are able to even also they are engaging in. I think it's wrong. VTC is about to focus on the what? Technical.
Yeah, electrician, plumbers, technicians.
Yeah, plumbers, all those, yeah.
Because these are the people literally that will build the infrastructure which we are planning to invest in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the problem now is that's what we are failing.
Mm.
And now I'm looking at, okay, if now we are pumping that man in, what are we done to change it? The way it's not going to do it's not going to happen what we've done before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my question. Because if you look what we've been doing for the past 56 years, it's what we are busy doing, planning to do again.
Yeah.
And you see, it didn't work for us. And now we are finding ourselves that the GDP is growing, but high unemployment is rising.
Yeah.
What does it tell you? It means something we are not doing it right.
Exactly. That's
yeah, and as a country, really, we have to look at ourselves.
Yeah.
What we up to? Because if you look, like we are training people now, but when it comes to capital project, we are busy giving it to Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem, as I said,
yeah,
we may invest in, like, we are heavily dependent on mining. We may invest in mining, which is intensive, capital intensive. So in terms of that, we're not actually employing many people. And then in the end, the sectors that could be taking up many people, manufacturing and factories and things like that, agriculture, we're not investing in that. And then to come 2030, we spend all this money, but we still have a problem of unemployment.
That's my issue. And you know what is really paining me in this country?
Yeah.
Is that we are not focusing when it comes to what? Manufacturing, like crofting.
Yeah.
We are not, but every day we are buying crop. I'm telling you, as a country, which is 36 years old, we are not supposed to import inform from even India. As far as India,
yeah,
South Africa, they are dominating, but there was a gentleman in here even producing what school shoes. Then nobody's funding even that project.
I tell you, like I was in Lagos one year. And we walk into a suit kind of tailor person who actually makes suits. I tell you, we walk in there, and an hour later you pick up your suit with the fine material of the suit that you actually. In an hour you come back and pick up your suit. Yeah?
You see. That is what we need in Asia. I'm telling you, people are able to do it, but the problem here is our government are not funding the right industry which we are supposed to be done. Look here, even our uniform where police uniform is made and the defense.
Yeah.
These are things which are supposed to be done by what? August 26th. What is it there for?
Yeah.
Those people are supposed to be equipped already with this machinery, what you are saying. In 1 minute, in 1 hour, you can come and pick up your suit because you just give a measurement.
That's actually the point when we talk about mismatch, you know, when we're talking about if our uniform forces, their uniform is actually made somewhere else, then you kind of ask, who do we produce? The people we are producing, are they not able to make this? And if they are able to make that, then where are the funding?
Why not giving them a chance?
Yeah.
We are producing those people.
If we are buying toothpicks, toothpicks from India or wherever.
Yeah.
So the people we're producing, you know, we have been educating, are they not able to do this? And if they are, if they are not, so that shows. That's exactly the mismatching because if we are not be able to address our own needs with our own people, that definitely says there's, as you're saying, there's mismatch there in terms of our education. Yeah.
It is. It is because now look here, my brother. And sometimes I'm wondering, which I am, when you are talking about the long, I mean, are we, like now, are we not supposed to have our own experts who are even in, when it comes to mining, when it comes to even oil, when it comes to, all those things are supposed to be done already, because now how long we've been talking about even this green, hydrogen?
Yeah.
But up to now, I never see how many people have been graduated in that field.
Mm.
But we are waiting until on the last minute, then we start complaining again. But serious, I'm telling you, my friend, the problem of our country is that it's kind of comradeship, which is killing our nation.
Yeah.
Because now you'll find the person who's in the office, who's a CEO, is having even a grade 9. You remember the last time we were having that debate that, you know, people have been recruited in prison where somebody kids is ending up with a grade 9, but they're asking 25 points. Yeah. How does it happen? Then come and know that person is for, because he's going to do an address. How many addresses are there with a grade 9? In, as a office of, or as a prison officer.
Yeah.
This is a problem, really. And I think the accountability which we don't have is what is killing this nation for
exactly.
us to go ahead.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we cannot have a mess housing up to now. They are still not occupied.
Mm.
I'm telling you, but people are on the waiting list for more than 20 years.
Yeah, giving up. I mean, they are even now pensioned, so they can't afford the house anymore. So you may even take them.
Exactly. Now you are having 5 years to go. Now what are you going to?
Yeah, you better go to what the Sheikh dwellers is.
It's a federation.
Yeah.
And then wait for the 10 years again.
All right,
no, my God, we are laughing, but it's serious, madam.
Yeah, no, it's serious. It's honestly serious. Yeah.
All right, my brother.
All right, great man.
Sure.
All right. Our time is about 54 minutes past the hour of 9. And then by 10 o'clock, we will hand over to Tate France, coming with Kutha Mosha. So make sure that you stay tuned for Kutha Mosha. And hopefully that the Kaoluma is still actually in Windhoek. You know, yeah, it's quite a duo when these two are together. All right. We were talking about the mismatch. and then there is this small business story. Okay. The strategy talks about supporting entrepreneurs. But right now, approximately 90% of Namibia SME fail within their first 5 years. 90% of Namibian SME fail within their first 5 years. In just last 5 years, we lost around 30,000 businesses, small and medium enterprises. And these are the very engines we say we want to grow. Okay. But imagine, not many actually make it to business. After 5 years, many of them actually disappeared. Why do they fail? Okay. Maybe one can ask, why do they fail? Of course, you know why do they fail. Access to finance. Yeah? Access to finance. We're talking, the mismatch that we're talking, if we have these people, why can't we fund them to produce? Access to finance, higher operation costs. We're talking about electricity. Talking about unreliable electricity. We talk about poor market linkages. Yeah, and limited business support after the initial training phase. So those are some of issues. So my question for the new strategy is this. Are we just building more training centers, or are we fundamentally fixing the ecosystem around the business? Because one without the other has already failed us. It has already failed us. Very good morning.
Is it the problem of mentorship, lack of mentorship, or training workshop, or maybe those TOT?
Just 1 minute, because there are things I want to finish quickly, okay?
Whenever you see me, you get so threatened that you want to finish quickly. Finish up, that's just my question to you and so others.
What are you talking about, Agobora? Oh, some people have issues there. Yeah, please, you know, see a therapist, ne? Please. Oh, my God. All right. So, yeah, it's a pity sometimes. All right. Yeah, no. So the other things, if we can just wrap up because of the few minutes that we have. Yeah, so just wrapping up for the things for the few minutes we have. Okay. Yeah, the 2025 to 2035 strategy is necessary. It's very necessary, absolute necessary. The diagnosis is correct. You know, infrastructure investment, skill development, and private sector growth. These are the right medicines for Namibia economic illnesses that we are experiencing. So, but the history wants us as well. You know, we have had mass housing project that we talked about that delivered ghost houses that some still remain unoccupied. We have national development plans that grew the economy without, you know, growing jobs. So we have had skill programs that train people for careers that don't exist. So we had corruption that hollowed out national resources meant for the poor. So, and we have had beautiful strategy documents that age quietly, you know, that age quietly on government shelves. So the difference between a plan and a reality is really implementation. It's implementation, it's accountability, and political courage. You know, and all three must work together. All three must work together, and all three must be visible to ordinary Namibians. So the African Development Bank has put money on the table. The government has signed the documents. Now comes the part that nobody can do. Now comes the part that nobody can do for us. That is implementation. All right? That is implementation. And the biggest question of all, can this strategy survive the other also, survive the political cycles? All right? So the, like, 5 years is not long time. Government changes, priority shift. What guarantees that this commitment, that the commitment made today survive budget pressures, a drought crisis, and political transitions that will be, you know, coming? All right. So that brings us to the end of our discussion at the moment. Maybe the takeaways that we can take. Namibia has just launched a major African Development Bank backed development strategy worth nearly $2 billion, focusing on infrastructure and skill development for 2025 to 2030. So the core problem this plan is trying to solve are problems that are real for this country and are very urgent as well. Nearly 37% overall unemployment, nearly 45% youth unemployment, one of the highest inequality rates on earth as well. So the two main pillars is infrastructure and human capital. So are the right diagnosis for our country, energy independence, railway upgrade, vocational training, and entrepreneurship support are exactly what the economy needs. This is exactly what our economy needs. But a plan is only as good as its implementation. So we need accountability. So we need transparency. We need to track the money, track the jobs created, you know, track whether ordinary Namibians' lives are actually changing. So Namibia, the strategy has been launched. The question is, will we execute it? So, and that's bring us to the end of our show this morning. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM. I'm leaving you in a capable hand of Tate France coming up with Kufamosha. So from me, Michael Chiveni, I wish you a productive day ahead. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.